Hey, what's up? It's AK. Hope you guys are all doing well, and we are now back with another episode of the Turntables Podcast. And this is maybe might be the finale. Don't know if it's a series finale or season finale, but it's definitely the finale. But don't worry. I have a feeling we might be back soon, but we're gonna put a question mark on that. You know what I'm saying? And we are recording this on a Monday, May 18, and we will be doing the music of, or doing the news and the music of the past 2 weeks. I missed one last week simply because, not last week, the week before last week, simply because of miscommunication on my end of me misreading a schedule for my school. So that's on my that's my bad, and I apologize for that. But yeah, so again, I hope you guys have all been staying safe due to the COVID, corona pandemic. I know it's been crazy out there. I know a lot of the places like Atlanta, Georgia, and not Atlanta, Georgia, my bad, just Georgia in general, and Texas have been like, reopening, and New York is thinking about reopening soon, after May 28 as well. But I'm not too sure on that just yet. I'm not too sure on that just yet. But anyway, without further ado, let's get into it. So first things first, just want to give a big rest in peace to three iconic music legends. First, want to give a rest in peace to Andre Harrell, founder of Uptown Records. Gave us legendary acts, Jodeci, Mary J. Blige. He mentored Diddy, and you see, I've been with him right there too. But tragically, he passed away last week, and or right out of the week before last. I'm doing the past 2 weeks, but yeah, he passed away. And yeah, it's just a heartbreaking thing. So really big condolences to him and his family. Really big condolences to his friends. And rest in peace to a legend. We're gonna keep his legacy alive. We're gonna keep giving him his flowers, as we should. And next up, a big rest in peace to the creator of rock and roll, Little Richard. He's a black icon, a LGBT icon. Like just an overall iconic individual, legendary individual. It's just, again, it's just a shame to see him go. It's just a shame to see him go as well. And again, condolences to all his family, condolences to his friends, and you keep, again, like I said with Andre Harrell, we're gonna keep the memory alive. And last but not least, big rest in peace to the iconic songstress, Betty Wright, who passed away as well. Just a legendary woman, a legendary singer. Like the legendary soul singer. Paved the way for so many people, inspired so many people, and it's just really a shame to see her go. And again, rest in peace to all these people. And it's just crazy because if I remember correctly, all of them passed on either on the same day, or within like a 2 day span of each other, you know what I mean? It was just too much on one day. So, big rest in peace to all three of them, And yeah, we started off with sorrow, but now we're gonna bring it up with joy. I wanna say a big congratulations to Doja Cat and Nicki Minaj for securing the number one record. On the week before last, where they it was Say So Remix, and I want to give a big congratulations to Beyonce and or rather I should say Megan Thee Stallion and Beyonce on my bad on getting number two spot with the Savage Remix. And something, this is a great thing. This is a history making thing, because right now we just right what just happened actually was. Doja Cat, Nicki Minaj, Beyonce, and Megan Thee Stallion are the first four women, to take the one and two spot, especially at the same time. First four black women, to be in particular, too.
So, you know, big shout out to them. Dope to be representing the culture this way. It's so dope to see. And honestly, I just love it. I just love it. You know, it doesn't really get any better than that. You know what I mean? You know? So, again, big congratulations. Hopefully, yo, there's got to be more in store. There's got to be more in store. There's got to be more in store, you know? You know what I mean? There's got to be more in store. And I just can't wait to see from either of them, you know? And, you know, continue on that same week, up until the next news that happened that week. Tekashi 6ix9ine released some music that week as well. But really, what that wasn't as big a deal as what really happened, which was the IG Live he did. And, you see, thankfully, this is, you know, PG. Podcast, so I can't say what I really want to say, but you know, it was interesting to say the least. I popped in for like a few seconds and popped right back out. Honestly, it just became too much for me. It was too much BS. As somebody who and was born and raised in, you know, the hood and stuff like that, has been around these people. I'm not a part of that life, no, but I have seen the life. I know people of that life. I know how all this stuff affects them, and I know what goes through them, what, you know, causes them to go, like, you know, seek out that life in the first place. And all these, like, mitigating factors. And for him to go up there and then act like he's an innocent party and an innocent bystander. And granted, yes, they did do things to him. He's completely ignoring the fact that he was a part of them, too. That he was a part of them, too. He did actions, too. He did crimes, too, to help a part of that gang, to a part of that situation. And just to see him do whatever grandstanding he was doing on IG Live, it was just disgusting to me. So I try not to get my opinions into the new stuff, but I just have to say that right there. Next, and you know, and keeping on that, though, I will say he did break IG Live record with 2 million views on IG Live, you know, which was crazy to see. But again, you know, controversy, you know, everybody loves controversy, and this is a man who is well known and full of controversy. You know what I mean? So, ain't nothing else I can say about 6ix9ine. You know, it's really ain't nothing else I can say about 6ix9ine. But you know, that's that. Honestly, that particular week wasn't a really big week in you know, with news. I think what really just happened was, oh, my bad. I almost forgot. There's one new thing I'm about to say. Before I forget though. Big, big, big shout out to Erykah Badu and Jill Scott, because they did do a versus battle, and I will say it was the most entertaining versus battle by far. They broke records. They shot a lot of things. It was like one of the highest you know, highest stream. It didn't hit two million like Tekashi did, sadly, but it did hit close to 760K views, 760,000 views on IG Live. Not only that, it also gained over 1 billion impressions on IG and social media, which was a big thing, you know. And you know what's crazy about it? Like that versus battle was so different from the other versus battles, you know. Obviously, you have two singers, but it's like not just singers, it's two neo soul, like, you know, monsters, like goddesses, you know what I mean? Like, they are the best in their genre. They kill every time. Like, they beautiful voices, beautiful melodies, you know, beautiful songs, like, great lyrics, you know, great, amazing songwriting, you know what I mean? So, these are, like, two of the best singers and women in the music industry, with Erykah Badu and Jill Scott. So, just to see how this entire version was received is just crazy to me. It was honestly just crazy to me and beautiful to see. Unlike the other verses where it really felt like a battle, because what verses is really a catalog battle. You go head to head with your stuff. You know what I mean? And everybody was really like, you know, and engaged with it. It didn't feel like it was a battle. Nobody was even keeping score like they did with other stuff. This one just felt like, oh, we're just playing music to play music. It's a celebration of each other. You know what I mean? Everybody was good vibes in the comments, good vibes in from Jill Scott and Erykah Badu. It was beautiful to see. So big shout out to them. That versus battle was amazing. It broke records. It broke the internet. So big shout out to Erykah Badu and Jill Scott. And then now that is it for the news for the last for the past 2 weeks for the week before last week? I mean, now this past week's news. Now we're getting somewhere. You see, y'all thought I was finished. Nah, I ain't finished. Nope, 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 nope. So, first of all, 6ix9ine, right now has been, going on, social media complaining about, his song should be. Because, like I said, last week, 6ix9ine released, his single. His name of the single is Google. I will be getting into that later on in the music. And it was actually slated to reach number one for this past week. However, Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber did come out with a track together, and that track happened to just overtake his, right? So now 6ix9ine is coming in and actually claiming foul and accusing Billboard of actually helping Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber, you know, get sales to help overtake him in the charts, you know? And yeah, obviously it's just 6ix9ine trying to get some traction, trying to get some attention, because that's what he needs. I really don't have anything else to say. That's just nothing else to say. Just nasty to me. That's it. I got nothing else to say. So yeah, that's what 6ix9ine said. Gotta forget about him. Anyway, after 6ix9ine, Kendrick Lamar is apparently gonna return soon. You know, shout out to Top Dog CEO Anthony Tiffitts, aka Top Dog. He said that Kendrick Lamar will be returning soon, and he was teaching new music, so that's good. It's good to see new K-Dot out music. You know, you haven't heard from him in what, almost 3 years now, so getting some new music from Kendrick Lamar would be a good thing, a very good thing, you know. Next up, Ariana Grande and also Justin Bieber, going back to the 6ix9ine thing, did respond to 6ix9ine. They basically just said, look, none of that stuff is happening. All of this is just, it's, the fans just love the songs. They decided they love us a lot. They just decided to keep buying it, and that's what happened, you know. Next up was Future actually dropped a surprise album on this Friday. I will get into that, but yeah, it's a surprise album, and the title of the album is called High Off Life. And yeah, you know, that's honestly, it was a very interesting thing to see, because I wasn't expecting a Future album. Normally when Future drops albums, there's a whole process to it, like he creates his IG page, like you just know. But none of that was really happening now. So it was completely out of nowhere. It completely surprised people. So this is so good. This is so good. So yeah. Next up, I want to congratulate Lil Dicky. If you don't know who Lil Dicky is, he's a rapper from if I'm correct, Pennsylvania. And yeah, he also has a show on FX called Dave. And it has become FX highest ranked comedy series. It's dope to see him as a rapper, you know, just getting into other lanes like comedy and this, you know, TV, and actually making a good impact. You know, again, it's good for the culture, and the show itself actually highlights the culture, you know, and does it in an actual, you know, valid and respectful way, especially when it's coming from a red artist. You know what I mean? So that's very good. So big shout out to him. Congratulations. Next up, Jay-Z and Roc Nation, you know, is actually helping out with demanding justice for Ahmaud Arbery. For those who don't know, Ahmaud Arbery was the young man who was sadly basically a modern day lynching down in Georgia while going for a jog, you know, by back in February by a older white man and his son. And yeah, you know, it was just a sad thing to see. Just a sad thing to hear. And nothing more I can say, man. You know, it just keeps happening. It's just a heavy thing. It's a heavy thing. But yeah, you know, Jay-Z and other artists, according to Double XL, have signed a letter addressed to Georgia State official Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, the Attorney General Christopher Carr, and the District Attorney Tom Durden, asking for justice, basically, and petitioning them to go ahead and do something about it. So it's always so dope to see, rappers and artists, especially in the hip hop community, using their platform to try and get change. And again, like I said, I love stuff like that. It's like really such a beautiful thing. And honestly, that's all we have for news. Now we done. And on to the music, So just like with the news, I'll be covering the past 2 weeks of music. And like you already know, trash, it was horrible. Mid, it was good. It was a decent album. It was okay album. Classic, great album. Loved it. Or just a flat out classic, So yeah, that's how we doing. And first things first, I wanna start with a Kehlani. It was good until it wasn't album. R&B, giving this one a classic right out the gate. This album came out 2 weeks ago. Loved it. Loved it, start to finish. Standout tracks to me, FNMU, Can I, Toxic, Hate the Clever, Masego, Serial Lover, oh, Serial Lover, and Grieving. Grieving is, in my opinion, the best song on the album. And honestly, what it is with this album from Kehlani is just R&B, pure and simple. Great songwriting, the beat selection is amazing. She has a great ear for beats, and coming off her breakup or public breakup too with rapper YG, just for her to come up with this album, releasing whatever her she did, and dude, you can really feel it too, like through the lyrics as well. It was a great album, enjoyed it a lot, loved it. This one is getting a classic, Next album I'm gonna review is a State of Emergency by Lil TJ, and this one, I'm gonna give it a mid. I'm gonna give it a mid. It has a few songs on there that I like. The biggest one, honestly, has to be Zoo York, featuring Favio Foreign and Pop Smoke. May he rest in peace. So that was one of, like, the biggest songs. And I like Two for the Stars with Favio Foreign as well. And it was cool. It's honestly not to my liking. It had a lot of features. Not really a big person with features. Like, he really only had one song by himself, and that was really Ice Cold. Everything else was features, and mind you, it was only seven tracks. But it was enjoyable enough for me to not really be like, yo, this is trash. You know what I mean? So again, little TJ, State of Emergency, I give it a mid, Next up is Chris Brown and Young Thug. They came out with a joint album called Slime and B. I'm gonna give this one a mid, but it's not like it's bad. This is was an enjoyable album for me, but it just didn't give me like that classic feel. You know what I'm saying? But this is a mid. Standout track to me, Go Crazy. I like Trap Back with Major Nine. And Stolen was another good one, and Help Me Breathe with Future, featuring Young Thug. That's a good one as well, But yeah, though, this was a great album. Not great as in classic, but great as in I was able to enjoy it. Let me choose my words a little bit more carefully. My bad, but yeah. So I'm giving this a mid. It honestly surprised me. I first of all, when nobody knew they were really gonna come up with an album, Young Thug said it, and I mean, and then a whole bunch of other people just thought it was like, oh, he's just saying it to say it, but he actually came out with the joint album. And personally, I thought it was gonna be trash, so this really, surprised me. It really beat my expectations by a long, not even beat, it just, the expectations was non-existent by a long shot, in other words. You know what I mean? Like, it was a good album, very good album, better than I thought it would be. Next up, we're gonna have Good Intentions. By Nav, but wait, this is Good Intentions by Nav, Brown Boy 2, deluxe version, and this one, my bad, and this is gonna be for this week's music right now. I'm talking about, So the past week's music, last week's music, I mean, rather. And Good Intentions, Brown Boy 2, Deluxe Version, Nav. I'm gonna give this one a mid, but it was very enjoyable. It was very, very enjoyable. But Nav did here, he did something similar to Lil Uzi Vert. With Lil Uzi, he dropped the album in 1 week, then the next week he dropped the Deluxe album, and the Deluxe album was pretty much just a brand new project. He did the same thing here with Brown Boy 2. Very dope second project. You know, I enjoyed it a lot. Stand out to me frequently, relax. Yes sir, like yo. I know a lot of people like to hate on Nav, you know, but at the same time I also see a lot of people saying like Nav is one of their guilty pleasures. This man knows how to make music, whether it's cool or like him or not. He knows how to make music and he knows how to make bangers. So big shout out to him. He's been killing it. Next up is Roy Woods. He released the Dem Times EP. And I'm gonna give this one a mid, but you know, it surprised me though, you know. Songs that I did like was Cool J, What We Did. It's a 6 songs EP. You know, so he shot a pretty decent percentage from it, from what I like. And he honestly surprised me though, cause I see him doing new things, new styles, new flows, new melodies, and he also became a better singer. You know, from what I can see too. You know, I didn't like his previous Russian Cream single or a Snow White single. I think that came out like last year and last year or so. But yeah, he's improved greatly. I can see it. So this is supposed to be like a little, you know, appetizer for the album. So now I'm excited for the album. Like, this lets me know, okay, we're gonna get something good, gonna get something interesting on this album. He's improved a lot. So I'm excited. I'm very, very excited to see. Next we have a Adunsi, The Engine, Naija, Stand Up. He's a Nigerian Afrobeat artist, or Afropop artist rather. Or Alte artist. Alte is like a genre of Afrobeat, Afropop, you know. But yeah, he's an Alte artist. He got a nice little 7-track EP. Very dope. I'm actually gonna give this one a classic. Loved it a lot. Production, because Adunsi is also a singer and a producer. Very well in the production. Something that I really liked about this EP, in the middle of it, tracks 4, 5, and 6, he actually just focused on producing and had other people starring the track. You know, and my favorite track would actually be track 6, Body Count, featuring Amare and Detto Black, you know. So they did a very, very good job, you know. The whole Adunsi killed it. Very good job, very great beats, very good lyrics, and he had very good ear for people to put on that track together, you know. Like, again, I said, the Body Count track is a monster. He killed it. So that one, Everything You Heard Is True, Adunsi and The Engine, classic. Ade, shout out to Ade from the DMV, DC. You know, rapper, used to be known as Phil Ade. I'm actually a huge fan of his, you know. So, like, to see that he's now releasing music again, like, on a steady basis, you know, with the last EP and now this EP, is good to see. So, Ade released What You Doing After EP. And I'm actually going to get this one a mid. It wasn't a bad EP, no, but it was enjoyable, but nothing that really just grabbed me, that made me be like, yo, I really love this thing. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I'm going to give it a... It had a lot of good songs on it, like Feel Some Ways with Wale, Don't Cry with Trevor Jackson joint, Replacements was good, Out of the Way was good, you know? And honestly, I actually like all the songs on the EP. But like I said, it wasn't really something that would just be like, yo, I love this. Nah, I like a lot all the songs of the EP, though. Like, it's a very good EP. He did his thing. And, you know, if you're going, like, 6 tracks in the EP, I should be liking all of them. You know what I mean? And so, it just, again, this has me excited to see what he has in store, what new music he has coming out. I just can't wait to see it, you know. Next up, we got Trippie Redd and Party Next Door. They released a single called Excitement. Very good. Honestly surprised the hell out of me. I'm actually gonna get this one a classic just because I enjoyed it that much. I loved it. Surprised the hell out of me. Was not expecting it. Beat wise, it was great. The way Trippie was able to match Party with Melody, like, you know what I mean. It was dope as hell. I just loved it off rip. So I'm giving that song a classic. You know, again, shout out to Trippie Redd on Party. That surprised me a lot. Next up, we have Polo G, The GOAT. That's the name of the album, The GOAT, by artist Polo G. Yeah, and I'm gonna give this one a mid. It was an enjoyable album, very decent album. A lot of songs that I liked on there, but there's also a lot I could probably do without. But I'm glad it was like 16 tracks. It's a little bit long, but not too long that I'm gonna get lose interest. Like it was like 20, 22. You know what I mean? So that's good. Tracks that I loved a lot. Sorry, I had to do a little quick little punch out, but now I'll be punching back in. But yeah, as I was saying, songs that I liked off of Polo G's joint a lot were D&D, you know, Martin and Gina, Heartless and Mustard, Flex with Juice WRLD. You know, those are some dope songs that I really liked a lot. So yeah, just shout out to him. But like I said, I'm giving it a mid, you know. I'm giving it a mid. And next up, you already know the deal. It is going to be the discussion. So for today, the whole 6ix9ine and Ariana and Justin Bieber situation had me thinking about this discussion. And what the discussion really is how artists, basically what we're gonna talk about is, you know, the system, you know, the Billboard system, you know, how artists might tend to cheat the system, or the little loopholes that's in the system, and, you know, whether there needs to be some change, or whether it's fine as it is, you know what I mean? And, yeah, you know, honestly, the system has been kind of messed up for a long time, ever since streaming got involved, you know? The recording industry changed its rules a whole bunch of times to accommodate streaming, you know? Now, especially when it comes, like, in terms of sales, you know? So now the whole 6ix9ine and Ariana Grande situation is basically because 6ix9ine feels that, like, okay, look, Billboard and maybe Ariana's labels are streaming like hell, or buying streams, or buying albums to shoot her to number one and take the spot away from me. That's 6ix9ine's argument, you know, right? And although I doubt that's what's happening to him, in the music industry, there is some truth in that. You know what I mean? It's been well known that, you know, sometimes labels would go ahead and, you know, like, buy, you know, a whole bunch of albums of their artists. You know what I mean? Let's say artist A drops album A tomorrow, the label might go ahead and buy 100 copies of that album, at least that 100,000 copies of the album. You know what I mean? That at least that used to happen, like, you know, back in the day, you know, before streaming. You know, that was a legitimate thing, you know. Nowadays, it kind of evolved into streaming forms. So what streaming forms are, they're places where literally it's a whole bunch of phones just locked in, charged up, whatever, and they just playing the albums over and over and over again, you know. That's a streaming form. And the thing is, though, streams are worth less than albums, you know. That's why, you know, if you have heard people talk about music, it's like, okay, pure album sales meaning physical copies. So that would be like CDs or digital streams. That would be like streams like, you know, SoundCloud, Apple Music, Spotify, etc., all those stuff, you know. So, you know, so, like, but like, this whole situation has always been going on, like, you know, within the music industry. Yes, labels have bought albums. Yes, labels do constantly keep streaming music. Yes, they'll raise around the system so that you can get yourself either a higher charting album or a higher charting single. Yes, there's a raise around the system, you know. Another way around the system is, again, because of streaming, people now will put out singles and a whole bunch of singles ahead of time, like months ahead of time, and then when the album finally drops, all those singles that were released months ahead are now on the album, you know. For example, let me just use Future, for example. Future, recently, the track list for his album came out, High Off Life. What happened on High of Life? We had at least 5 songs that were previously came out. One of them being Life is Good, right? Now, Life is Good, That I think that song it did it was a smash hit, platinum and number one, all that stuff. Because of that album, because of how well that song did, Future's High Off Life became gold. Meaning it sold the equivalent of over 500,000 units, 500,000 copies of the album, either be it through streaming or pure sales, you know, being physical copies, that same night, that same day, you know. So yes, there are ways, other ways to cheat and manipulate the system, you know. You know, another thing that was a big thing that happened, I think it was last year, 2 years ago, was with Tyler, the Creator, and DJ Khaled, you know, where DJ Khaled tried to use bundles to go number one, and which means that he tried to sell his album, like, with merch and stuff like that, and it didn't work. You know, Travis Scott went number one off bundles, and Nicki Minaj was mad about it, you know, because she was shut to number two. So you see that there's a repetition here. Like, bundles is another way that people cheat the system, where they sell, like, merch, you know, tickets and stuff like that, just, you know, to get a, just to get ahead, just to get number one. Heck, even recently, Drake, the only reason why Drake lost out on the number one spot, right? At the end, he lost out on the number one spot to a country artist, and I can't remember the name, but I do remember the story. He lost out that number one spot to a country artist. The country artist had a whole bunch of pure sales, you know, so you had a bunch of physical copies and stuff. But those physical copies were sold with a bundle, and that bundle was a tour bundle. Now, and then, you know, because of that, he was selling a tour bundle during the midst of the coronavirus, you know, and all his people were still buying it, and he was able to go number one, and then was canceled the tour shortly after he went number one. So you see now people, you know, gaming the system, cheating the people, trying to get those, you know, those numbers and get that, you know, number one album or the high charting album. So, yeah, and, you know, if my two cents are, like, it's a problem, you know, it's a legitimate problem, and there needs to be a way around it, and there needs to be a way to curb it, you know what I mean? If anything, for one, how much streams count is also a big problem, is also a big issue, too, you know, which I think is a big reason as to why people tend to game the system, you know? Streams, like, one, I can play one song one time on my Apple Music, and literally, the artist is getting less than a cent of that, you know, like a fraction of a cent. So streams also, like, you know, that the how much a stream costs, or how many streams equal an album, or how many streams equal full single sale, or how many streams equal full album sale, all that stuff, all that convoluted, you know, for lack of a better term, BS, is a problem, you know, and it hurts us. More than it helps, you know. Like, there needs to be a way to curb it. There needs to be a way that we can get around these loopholes. And I think by fixing that particular thing, by defining properly and giving out proper payments to maybe what a stream is, people wouldn't be, you know, gaming the system like this, you know. Another thing, too, is I think a part of it is also culturally, you know, in hip-hop, in the sense that, you know, numbers have always been a big thing. And I think, you know, I think the person we can blame for that could either be Jay-Z or, you know, Jay-Z or 50. You know, 50 was always talking numbers. They had the highest selling, the highest this, the highest that. Always him. And Jay has that famous bar, man. Like, you know, damn. Let me see if I can remember it. And I can't remember it. But, you know, but Jay has a famous bar where, like, he lets you know, like, yo, oh, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. That famous Jay-Z bar right there, you know? So I think that fascination of numbers and just to prove that, oh, look, yeah, I went number one. I'm the highest charting this. It's a competitive streak within the culture. That competitive nature within the culture is a cultural thing. So I think maybe if we can, you know, address that issue as well, we can see less gaming of the system. But overall, I don't think the fault is with us. I think the fault is pretty much with Billboard and the recording industry. There needs to be a way that they can attack these loopholes and fix them, you know, so that this gaming of the industry won't work, this gaming of the system won't happen again, you know. And that's all I got for discussions, you know. Again, just want to give a big thank you to all you guys for listening. It's been a fun ride. Like I said again, you know, this is the finale, but you don't know, this might be the season finale. I leave that big question mark. We might be coming right back. Don't know when, but soon. But you might be coming right back, you know. But again, thank you guys all for listening to my ramblings or to my reviews, just whatever. Just thank y'all for listening. It means a lot. And, yeah, you know, so I hope you guys are doing safe and hope you guys are doing well. please take care of yourself during this time. COVID-19 is no joke. And I hope to see all you guys again too. So I'll talk to all you guys again soon. Right? So take care of yourselves, all right? Peace.